morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself, Mr. Jerry Scott, are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Ford Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Well, we're trying to get them right out of the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Our opinions come right out of the Bible. We say our opinions. We're trying to give the Bible definition, the Bible answer. So if you have a question this morning you'd like for us to comment on, we would love to have your call. Now, Timotheus.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
It's just a little muggy out this morning. Can you do anything about it?
No.
All right, then.
Well, I'd like to tell you.
Look at the sun coming out. Look at that.
There you go. I'll
tell you what.
Yeah. I came out, let's see, about 3:45 this morning.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
It was warm.
Was it really?
It was warm, and it's muggy, but we're only showing 72 degrees right now. So,
well, the other day, I noticed that my car was awful dusty. It looked like I'd been on that dirt road from Little Sinking there in Grand, Kentucky, over to my uncle Willard's house.
Now, I was going to say I have no clue where you're talking about.
But I got to looking a little closer. I knew it wasn't. I knew I hadn't been on that road. In years.
Yeah.
And so it's the pollen.
Well, I was going to ask you if you had enough pollen, because I was going to bring you some of mine and leave with you.
My. Listen, I heard this morning that this is the worst pollen season in recent years. Because of the winter situation, I guess. So
I suppose.
Anyway, I haven't been on the dusty road, so it's just the pollen coming off the trees.
If you want to give us a call, folks, you can do so at 789-0318, 789-0318. You can also email your questions, comments, or concerns, whatever they may be, to godspointofview@yahoo.com. It's godspointofview or at yahoo.com. Or you can text the great Scott if you'd like.
Amen. 367-0137.
I'm having trouble remembering that number.
I was kind of sleeping there on you a little bit, Timotheus.
Why are you sleeping for?
I don't know what the problem is this
morning. The pollen.
Yeah, I guess. Let's blame it on the pollen. But, if you wanted to text me, feel free to do so. You want to give me a call after we get off the air, I'll be happy to get back with you. 606-367-0137. Locally, of course, 606-367-0137. You don't have to hit that area code. But call us. You can keep your anonymity. That's a $3 word for you there, Timotheus. You don't have to tell us who you are.
Yep.
And I think that helps people. That helps people to call, because they know that we're not going to embarrass you. Even if we know who you are, we're not going to embarrass you.
Well, we'll try not to.
We'll try our best not to.
That's not our intention
so,
whatsoever.
So, a lot of people have a lot of concerns about the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
We get that question a lot. And
Is it? Do you think that internally and with the word that is given to us in the Bible, the aforementioned times that are ahead of us, we see all these things that have taken place? You think that man is beginning to realize, this is really going to happen.
As a whole, no. Man as a whole is not.
Yeah.
Man as a whole is getting worse and worse and worse.
Yep.
Quite frankly, he's not thinking about it at all. You know the group called the nuns?
The N-U-N? S. Is that right?
No, not that group.
Oh, okay.
There's another group called the N-O-N-E-S.
Oh.
Nuns.
Oh.
And they don't believe in God. They don't believe in the church. Now, they're not hostile toward us.
They're neutral.
Sort of. The reason they got their name nuns is because when they're asked what religious preference are you, they say none.
Yeah.
And they just ignore pretty much the church.
Yeah.
Someone said if Jesus came back, wonder what they'd do to him. I think probably most folks would ignore him.
Yeah.
Just ignore him.
Probably.
They killed him the first time.
That's true.
That second time when he comes back, he'll come back in power. But that's another sermon for another time.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be ignoring what the Bible tells us is going to be happening.
I don't think so, brother. I would wholeheartedly agree.
I don't think they're going to be ignoring that.
You know, Jesus outlined one time exactly what the end time was going to be like. It's recorded in the 24th chapter of Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
And it's known, some people call it the Little Apocalypse.
Mm.
There's at least 8 things Jesus said that are going to be prevalent as we draw near the end of time. These are the signs, if you please.
Mm-hmm.
False prophets and people who claim to be Christ, that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Wars and threats of wars.
Mm-hmm.
An increase in the number of natural disasters.
Hawaii.
Yeah. The persecution of Christians.
Okay.
The renunciation of faith by many Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Internal division and discord among Christians.
Oh, a lot of that going
on. Immorality and insensitivity to immorality. And the proclamation of the gospel to everyone in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in just 50, 60, 100 years ago, people would say, how's that going to ever happen? But now with satellites and all the advancements we've made.
Hey, people could be listening to us anywhere in the world right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Absolutely
the
they could.
Interweb, as you call it.
Think about those 8 things now. It sounds like it's on the daily news feed. It's on the it's on the Drudge Report, those things that are happening all the time.
Fill in the list right
there.
Yeah.
And there are ministries that have made a pretty good living out of end-time events. That's what they major in. And I'm not saying anything negative about it. It's a great help, often.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people who are talking about the end times. But, you know, there's a lot of people who aren't talking about the end times either.
Don't have a care or worry about it.
They don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when the end times are going to be upon us. I know these things are happening. I also know this, Timotheus. We're closer to the end time than we've ever been in any other era of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And someone says, well, that's obvious. Well, sometimes you have to say and repeat the obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And, for instance, just take immorality.
Oh.
Yeah, and the insensitivity to immorality.
Now, you may have some people saying, let's say that there's somebody out there is a nun that they're listening to us today, and they said, well, we're not that evil, we're not that immoral, are we? But you have to realize what the gauge is. You know, does that make sense?
Absolutely. Makes all the sense in the world to me, and it's so glad you brought that up. You have to have something to compare it to, a baseline.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in the 2017, and I know this is just like your Bible, American Values Atlas. You probably keep it right on your nightstand.
No.
It was just released by the Public Religion Research Institute. That's the PRRI.
Okay.
And it revealed an emerging consensus on
the end of time.
No. LGBT issues.
Yes.
So here's what they said. The report said currently more than 6 in 10, 61% they said, Americans say gay and lesbian couples should be able to marry legally.
Mm-hmm.
While only about half as many, 30%, opposed. And those who strongly favor, this report indicates, same-sex marriage, outnumber those who strongly oppose it by more than two to one margin, 30% versus 14%. Now, it may sound like old news.
Yeah.
And to a lot of people listening, they may say, well, we've heard all of that before. But it shouldn't sound like old news because it isn't old news. For instance, 2007. Now, get this, Timotheus. Only 13% of the public strongly favored same-sex marriage.
11 years ago.
Uh-huh. And now it's 61%.
Yeah.
So there's your base. Your baseline started there in 2007 for purposes of this illustration, of course, while nearly one quarter, 24% strongly opposed it. And so, and not only that's 30%, 24% strongly opposed to the study even found that most religious groups now support. Get this, Timotheus, most religious groups.
Yep.
Strongly support same-sex marriage.
I was getting ready to say, we're a little different culture here in eastern Kentucky. We're a little more sheltered.
We are.
But over the overall country, or overall the world, I should say, as well, I was going to ask how many of that 61%?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How many of those were Christian people? You know, because you hear that and you see it every day. You hear the different denominations talking about, you know, gay and lesbian pastors, different things, membership in the church, those type of things. You hear it more and more and more every day, and we're just getting accustomed to it because of culture.
We are indeed, and just because it's slow getting here doesn't mean that it won't come.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you why it's happening to religious institutions and why it will increase here. But listen to this statistic. I think it goes back to something you said a moment ago. Since 2013, opposition to same-sex marriage has dropped 13% among white evangelical Protestants from 71% who were against it in 2013. Now, 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Now only 58% are opposed to it.
Oh, wow.
So it's happening right in front of us. Now, just put a marker there, Timotheus.
And yes,
let's go to something else.
Okay.
Which I think will explain why this is happening.
You going to explain it?
I'm going to try to explain it.
Okay.
7890318. We want you to join in on this conversation if you'd like to. And the email address, if you'd like to email us, still have no emails. Not even a commercial. Not even an advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to email us at godspointofview@yahoo.com. And so there was a time, Timotheus and listeners, there was a time when mainline churches, mainline Protestantism. Oh, there's another big word, Timotheus.
Did you just make that up?
No, it's a real word.
Okay.
They were what's called, you know what an outlier is? It's a person who supposedly is on the same team, but he kind of stands apart as either for good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And while a lot of churches were embracing LGBT, there was one church that held they were viewed as the outlier. They were viewed as the one who was going to try to stick to the Bible. That was the United Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
But the bishops of the United Methodist Church propose. Their proposed plan is to open the door to the LGBTQ inclusion. Yes, yes. They have every 4 years they have a convention. They may not call it the convention, conference maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And they've called a special conference meeting coming up here in 2019 to discuss much of this very issue, that is the LGBT. They're recommending a way forward. Now, here's their recommendation. While they're going to stick to the discipline, the book they call their disciplines,
mm-hmm.
What they believe the Bible teaches and what United Methodists believe, they're going to allow, it seems, many have reported, each individual church to make up their own mind. Now, let me say this, let me say it this way. Their book of discipline, or their book that talks about what they believe, says that marriage is between a man and a woman. However, they're going to allow, many believe, next year, for local churches, local pastors, to decide for themselves. Now, you know what that is, don't you, Timotheus? That's leadership passing the buck, is what that is.
Mm-hmm.
That's leadership passing the buck.
Mm.
They are in fact redefining, if they do this, they're redefining holiness. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And the Bible clearly, And everybody don't agree with this, but everybody don't read their Bible. The Bible clearly condemns homosexuality as a practice, a way of life. And yet, the United Methodist Church next year at their conference will suggest that the way forward...
The reports say
the way forward is to allow the freedom of each local congregation to make up their own mind. Now, they've gotten this, I think, from the Episcopal Church, which has gone whole hog into LGBTQ, along with, is it Presbyterian USA, or is that the group that has stayed with the Bible as much as they possibly can? But the Episcopalians, who's led by a woman, I forget her name right now, a woman, pastor, who, opts for open borders. In other words, they're going to be a sanctuary church for illegals, like California and other places around the country. Although folks are rising up in California. I saw a report last night on the news.
I think they're getting a little tired.
Yeah. So this pastor, this lady pastor, says that they're going to opt for open borders and, I get this, Timotheus, transgenderism. So they've gone whole hog as well.
The Episcopals.
Episcopals have.
Okay.
And also New Zealand, the church is there.
Mm-hmm.
Are opening their doors to the LGBTQ as well. So now we were talking about religious institutions. We call them evangelical, you know, to rightly divide the difference. Has dropped 13% in 1971. In 2013. Boy, I took a trip there, didn't I? 1971.
Yeah, I was going to say.
2013, there were 71% of the evangelical Protestants opposed to LGBT. Now it's only 58%. So, that's the reason why I've just explained what's happening in the United Methodist, what's happened in the Episcopalian, what's happened in the Presbyterians. Mainline, truth-seeking churches, John Wesley. He and his brother Charles, founders, I guess you could say, of the Methodist Church because of the method they used.
Yeah.
But that method is, they're getting away from the method. And we already see in our own community, one of the churches in the United Methodist, camp that has a woman, I'm told a very nice lady, as their pastor, which was never heard of before in our area, but it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So, these things are coming, Timotheus.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to be looking, and I'm glad you brought this up, Timotheus. People are going to be looking for a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that has a program to educate their children according to a Thus Saith the Lord. I want you to know the Highland Church is that institution, and we would love for you to come check out our church. We would love for you to check out our Little Light Academy, which will have its graduation next Thursday night, May 17th. This is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. However, God has a way of turning things around and making good things come out of the bad, Romans 8 and verse 28. So that's what's going on there. By the way, Timotheus, that church in Washington, D.C. that I mentioned a moment ago that's opting for sanctuaries, status and all that kind of stuff for illegals and opening their doors to LGBTQ.
The Episcopal Church?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And the transgenderism. Years ago, when they started all this, their attendance was about 150 a week. But now, Timotheus, this is the church that many of our presidents went to.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham Lincoln attended there.
Yeah.
So it's an old church.
Yeah.
And they've had about 150 membership down through the decades. Now it's 75. So people who don't see it that way are leaving.
Hmm.
They're leaving.
Yep.
They're looking for people who are serious about Bible study and obeying God are looking for new places to do that. The old paths. Jeremiah said, seek ye out the old paths and walk therein. And that's what we need to be doing. Now, let's try to make, let's build a bridge here to another thing that's taken place. that is, we and we touched on it last week, the Boy Scouts.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Boy Scouts.
It's going to be just known as the Scouts now, I think.
Yes, sir. Although they'll still keep their BSA, Boy Scouts of America, but this Scout, just Scouting.
What's going to happen to the Girl Scouts?
Well, the Girl Scouts have joined the Boy Scouts.
Oh, so it's just going to be all one Scout thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of the churches in America that just really loved the Boy Scouts, and there was a lot to love.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the secret sign.
Yeah, you've got it going on.
Glad folks can't see us, but but they may be able to soon.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. So how is the progress on? Are we making progress on that?
Well, we're not where we want to be just yet.
We mentioned it last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we were going to do try to do Facebook.
Going to try to do Facebook Live. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's upcoming. Folks, that's called a tease. We're teasing you a little bit.
But, yep, baiting the hook.
Yeah, baiting the hook. So, I was a Boy Scout. Mm-hmm. And loved it.
I was in the Boy Scouts just a little while.
Yeah.
Had some badges.
Yes, sir.
Put on my belt.
Yeah. Didn't you look good in that little uniform?
Oh, yeah. I look good in uniform. That's for sure.
And so I went on one camping trip. Anyway, that's a whole other sermon. I learned how to dig a trench a little better after the camping trip.
Young man in my family is an Eagle Scout.
How about that?
Sure is.
How about that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You're not doing what John did, are you? He didn't want to mention himself, so he just said the disciple whom Jesus loved.
No, he wasn't me.
Yeah, so it he was scouting.
Trust me, I was a long way from
there. Okay, all right. Well, I thought so, but...
Thanks for the confidence,
just
brother.
Just wanted to be sure.
Thanks for the confidence.
You're welcome, brother. Anytime, anytime. I mean that sincerely.
I know that.
So, where were we, Timotheus?
Talking about the Boy Scouts.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. There have been some wonderful men that came through the Boy Scouts, other than us two here. Eagle Scouts was President Gerald Ford, astronaut Neil Armstrong, first man on the moon.
There you go.
Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer. And businessman Sam Walton, Walmart.
Was an Eagle Scout.
Yes, sirree. And the Boy Scouts started back in 1910. I'm not going to give you a whole history on it, but I will tell you this, that things began to change about 2013 because they opened it up to to homosexual boys. And then in 2015, openly leaders who were homosexual. January 30th, 2017, Boy Scouts announced transgender boys. And, well, they kept the plumbers and the carpenters busy adding bathrooms, didn't they? And then in October of 2017, they announced that girls would be allowed to become Cub Scouts in 2018. And older girls would begin in 2019. That's to answer your question, what about the girls? So they've dropped the boy from the name of its, I guess you'd call it its signature program.
Mm-hmm.
And starting in February of 2019, the Boy Scouts program for boys ages 11 to 17 will just be called, as you told us earlier, Timotheus, Scouts.
Less than a year away.
Scouts BSA. Mm-hmm. The organization, the overall organization will remain Boy Scouts of America, but they're Scouts BSA. There was one church in America that supported the Boy Scouts more than any other, and that was the Mormon Church.
Mm-hmm.
It said that if you were a Mormon, you were automatically a Boy Scout.
Hmm.
That's how faithful they were to the Boy Scouts, and it contributed not only numerically but financially. Scouts, if you take a survey back then of the Scouts and what church they came from, the Mormon church would be overwhelmingly the one they came from. But...
Didn't know that.
But...
Uh-oh.
See, that's our goal here, Timotheus, is to educate.
Educate.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has announced that it's going to sever all ALL ties with the BSA.
Well,
that will end on December 31st, 2019, same year the name changes.
Good for them.
Hundreds of thousands of boys, we're told, are Mormon boys. Actually, statistics reveal more than 30,000 congregations across the country, and the church is going to create its own group for young men.
There is a group, I think, is it called the Frontier Scouts?
Seems like I've read that.
I believe that they've kind of, when all this stuff first started, I believe they organized, it's called the Frontier Scouts. Don't quote me on that, but I believe that's what it's called.
I wouldn't quote you for anything.
You know better. You know me, do well.
So, churches are pulling out of it because they don't support it.
Amen.
The churches that support LGBT will stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I read one report here by an author by the name of Dickerson. John S. Dickerson. He's written a book called The Hope of Nations. He's a preacher. He's a researcher. He's a journalist. He wears many different hats. And he writes this book talking about the trouble that the future of our nation is going to experience for our culture. It's going in a downward spiral. He says, it's clear to me that BSA leaders are responding to a culture that should trouble us all. Dickerson notes that 89% of Americans believe people should not criticize someone else's life choices.
Yeah.
89%.
Yeah.
And this, a lot of churches believe that. Now we can't judge. Well, the Bible says something different than that. We can judge fruit.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be judges of fruit.
Yeah.
Not judges of eternal destinies, but of the fruit a tree bears. People should not criticize, 89% say, of someone else's life choices. Listen to this one, Timotheus. A frightening 74% of millennials. What is the age bracket there? 13 to 24 or something like that?
That I can't tell you. I wish I could, but I can't.
Well, of that group known as millennials,
mm-hmm.
74%, did that start in 2000? Maybe that's why they call them millennials.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway.
I think so.
74% of millennials believe morality is to be a matter of cultural consensus.
Oh, so whatever the culture says, then it's right or
wrong. You got it, brother.
Yeah. Oh.
You got it.
So if let's say something as cruel and wicked as child pornography is okay with the culture, then it's okay.
Yeah.
No.
74% of the millennials.
No.
Or if the sex trade is okay with millennials.
Sex slaves, then it's okay. And no.
Moses said, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Bernie Sanders, you know, ran for president.
Yes, sir.
And that was back in 2016. He was an overt socialist.
Yes. Yep.
Did you know more millennials voted for him in 2016 in the presidential primaries than for Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton combined?
Really?
Yes, sir. Yes,
Had
sir.
Had no clue.
Yeah. Younger Americans, shall we say, are less committed to biblical truth.
Let me ask you a question with this, all this being said.
Yes, sir.
Is there a failure, in your opinion, in the pulpits of America?
Yes. Yes. But it didn't start there. It started at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's moved from the home to the school to the church. That's, I think, the progression of it. And the church is getting weaker and weaker all the time.
But then, but Bible-believing Christians that try to live by the Word, their faith has had to be even stronger now than it's ever been before.
Yes, because their friends, their associates, those they work with.
The pressure's on.
Those they run with. The pressure is on. They'll criticize them, critique them. Jesus said, marvel not if the world hates you.
Yeah.
It hated me first.
Yep. And that's, you know, and that's one thing to read it.
Yes.
But to live it.
Yes.
It's hard.
Jesus' own family turned against him.
It did.
John records that he was in a house preaching one time, teaching, and they came to get him because he was beside himself. Read that in a modern translation. It'll say they thought he was crazy. Time's come and gone, Timotheus.
It sure has. We want to thank you today for joining us for God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. We'd like to invite you to services. Sunday morning Sunday school gets underway at 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. And be sure to join us next Thursday morning for another edition of God's Point of View.